Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Not every Old Testament prophet did miracles. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Elijah certainly did some, but he was outdone by his successor, Elisha. Why? Why this miraculous explosion of miracles during the prophetic ministry of the Old Testament prophet Elisha? Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's our weekly series through the Old Testament in a church year. Today we're going to talk about the prophet Elisha. Dr. Ken Sherb joins us. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of Evangelism and Missions Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Delighted to talk to you, Todd. Hi.
We are going to talk about Elisha today, but remind us of what we talked about last time.
Well, last time we were talking about the death of the wicked King Ahab of Israel. That's in the last chapter of 1 Kings. Ahab died trying to take back a place called Ramoth-Gilead. But in the process, he did not heed the warnings of a prophet, a little-known prophet from our point of view, named Micaiah. But this guy was very well known to Ahab. Ahab said, "He never has anything good to say about me." So Ahab preferred to listen to the prophets who told him good things that he liked to hear, like that he would succeed in his little venture. But they turned out to have a lying spirit, and really Ahab was not listening to the word of the Lord. But of course, listening to the word of the Lord is exactly what God's people need to do in every age. As the psalmist said, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, but let them not turn back to folly."
So which prophet succeeded the famous Elijah?
Well, a man with a similar name, Elisha. Now, Elisha had a problem at the beginning of his ministry, because Elijah had cut such a commanding figure for the Lord. He spoke so boldly. The Lord had done such remarkable miracles through Elijah. Today, we might say that this guy Elijah turned out to be a very hard act to follow. Well, on the day that Elijah was taken into heaven alive, one of only two people recorded in the scripture who did not die in this world, other prophets ran up to Elisha. They didn't want to talk to Elisha about him, about Elisha. No, they wanted to talk about Elijah. They kept saying, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" And then after the Lord took Elijah into heaven in a fiery chariot, some of those same prophets went back to Elisha, and they suggested forming a kind of a search party, just in case that chariot had simply taken Elijah sort of over the horizon, out of sight, and dropped him off somewhere. In other words, their interest in Elijah had not waned a bit. And even at that very point, the figure of Elijah was still firing the imagination of, well, these faithful people. The Lord had taken Elijah to heaven, though, and thus off the scene. And among other things, that seems to have been good, so that Elisha could get on with the work that the Lord had assigned him to do. Now, people at the time would have maybe had a hard time believing this, Todd. But in so many ways, Elisha really turned out better than Elijah. I mean, on the day when Elijah was taken up, Elisha had asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and the Lord granted that request. So eventually, the Lord did twice as many miracles through Elisha as he had done through Elijah. This was the greatest collection of personal miracles, that is, miracles done one-on-one or in a small group, anywhere in the Old Testament. And there's more. Not only were Elisha's miracles quantitatively more numerous than Elijah's, qualitatively speaking, the miracles of Elisha were also better. I mean, the miracles of both of these prophets contained both elements of blessing and curse. But in Elijah's miracles, the curse had really been more prominent. But on the other hand, in Elisha's miracles, blessing stood out. And we have just such a case before us today.
Here is the account. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servant, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness," so that he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? But set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast, and they went, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Ken, what's happening here?
Well, Todd, it seems that the king of Syria had grown rather frustrated over the fact that the king of Israel, that is the 10-tribe northern kingdom that we've been talking about here lately, the king of Israel regularly seemed to know about top-secret Syrian military maneuvers. In fact, the Syrian king even began to wonder whether a spy had infiltrated his innermost circle. But he learned that in Israel, the king there needed no spy. He had Elisha, this mighty man of God, a prophet who could let the cat out of the bag on the most closely guarded secrets. So the Syrian king determined to get this prophet, and he sent his army after Elisha at Dothan. When day broke, Elisha's servant saw the danger. He excitedly warned Elisha, because it seemed like there was nowhere to go, no place to hide. They were surrounded. "But no problem," replied Elisha. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them."
And then, when the servant looked a second time, the Lord answered Elisha's prayer and opened the servant's eyes to see the heavenly army surrounding Elisha with fiery horses and chariots. I mean, there were indeed more with Elisha and his servant than there were with the Syrians.
Is it important for us Christians to recall today that we have unseen allies, for we have unseen enemies?
Oh, yeah, right. The battle is on for the hearts and minds of men. It's not being fought with conventional weapons. Now, the dangers that we can see are often quite scary, but as you suggested, Todd, there's more than meets the eye. And this battle for the hearts and minds of men is on in every aspect of life, social, economic, intellectual, moral, ethical. They all become arenas for spiritual struggle. Luther wrote in the Large Catechism, "If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible." Yet, as Elisha's servant learned when his eyes were opened, there really are more of us than there are of them. The Lord God has a mighty army of angels doing his bidding, surrounding us with protection.
With conventional military weapons, we often think about the price tag. These things, they cost a lot of money. Now, what's the cost of the army that you're talking about?
Well, the services of this army for God's people were paid for with the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of Christ, who is God himself. The Lord has the power, and had the power back then, to make any of Elisha's miracles look puny by comparison. And he has packed into his word the same divine power that raised Christ from the dead. He comes to you and me now with this same word to fight for us. God's word has the power to save you and me for all eternity. But it also speaks to us about what's going on around us. It tells us that despite the dangers, despite the problems and threats in this world, we really can feel at home here. I mean, this remains our Father's world, and he is for us. Like the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Even angels aside, whenever you are with the Lord, whenever he is for you, you are always in the majority. It's a simple old saying, but it's true. And the Creator God on our side is on our side because of the crucified and risen Christ.
Dr. Kancherb is our guest. It's our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Here. We're talking about Elisha. We'll discuss Thy Will Be Done next. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
For 160 years, St. John Lutheran Church Child Care and Preschool has been a congregation committed to bringing Christ's salvation to the people of Fredonia, Wisconsin. We gather to receive the Lord's gifts and His divine service to us each Sunday at 8 and 10:30. If you're in the northern suburbs of Milwaukee and looking for a traditionally liturgical church, please join us this Sunday. For more information regarding education or enrollment, visit us online at stjohnfredonia.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-Centered Worship, Confessional Theology, Lutheran Community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. Old Testament prophet Elisha is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin, your link to Issues, Etc. This is what waiting in witnessing is all about. As Christ's witness, you can sow the seeds of His word, but you can't cause them to sprout and grow. You know that witnessing is a process of plowing, sowing, watering, but you don't know what God will do with the seeds you plant. A little insight from the Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, connected to Christ, witnessing in everyday life. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, and you can order it from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, connected to Christ, witnessing in everyday life. Ken, people sometimes think that it's throwing in the towel or admitting defeat to say to God, "Thy will be done." But that's not right, is it?
No, it's not so. I mean, it's defeat for any of our plans for self-glorification or self-salvation, but it is a victorious cry for those who are in Christ. Like Luther wrote in the Small Catechism, God's good and gracious will is done among us when He breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will that would not let us hallow the name of God, nor let His kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh. And when the Lord strengthens and keeps us steadfast in His word and in faith until we die. So, yes, Todd, the battle for the hearts and minds of men is on, all right, and Christ engages us in it every time we pray that prayer that He taught us. There truly are more of us than there are of them, and that means we can have freedom from the fear of all these forces arrayed against us. And as our episode with Elisha shows, we can also freely show generosity even to the people who would oppose us.
Tell us more about that.
Well, Elisha went out and met that Syrian army surrounding him there at Dothan. He prayed that the Lord would strike all these soldiers blind, and God did exactly that. So do you get the irony? The Lord had enabled Elisha's servant to see the supernatural realities, but now He was blinding the Syrian troops to see the natural things that were right in front of them. Well, Elisha proceeded to lead these Syrian soldiers haplessly right to the very last place they would ever want to be, and that is smack dab in the middle of the capital city of Israel, Samaria. And once they were there, the Lord opened their eyes again, and now they could see, and you could imagine the reaction of these Syrians. First, disorientation and shock, followed by recognition of where they were, and then abject fear, because now they were the ones being surrounded by the enemy, and they had nowhere to go. The Israelite king, a son of the wicked King Ahab, was just thrilled with this unexpected military victory.
gleefully rubbing his hands together. He says, "Shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" And Elisha said no, because these Syrians were really not the king's prisoners. They were the Lord's. The Lord had captured them. So now the Lord's prophet, Elisha, gave orders that they be given something to eat and sent home. And the king of Israel did just that. Once again, only the Lord could intervene here. Only he could protect these Syrians surrounded there in the middle of the capital city, Samaria. And that's exactly what the Lord did. See what I mean about blessing standing out more than cursing in the miracle activity of Elisha?
So what is the lesson in all of this for us?
The Lord works in our lives in a way similar to what he did with that Syrian army. He shows us how desperate our situation is in this world. He exposes our vulnerability. With his law, he accuses us of our sin, solemnly announcing that the soul that sins, it shall die. His law comes to us through the impact of events in our lives and through our own consciences and, of course, through his word. Yet, God does not aim to leave us in despair and death. The prophet Isaiah called it God's alien work when he terrifies. What he really wants to do is console and quicken. He kills to make alive. The Lord brought comfort to Elisha's frightened servant, and then he gave it to the terrified Syrian army. Those who had seen Elijah in action might have expected the prophet to look out at all these Syrian prisoners and tell the king, "Yeah, go ahead, kill them all." But through Elisha, the Lord showed mercy. Now, in the New Testament, an angel told the father of John the Baptizer that he was going to have a son and that his son John would go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah in preparing the way for the coming Christ. And then when Christ came, he came in the spirit of mercy. Christ came, if you will, in the spirit of Elisha. Now, of course, he's infinitely greater than Elisha. Jesus preached the law to people the way John had done, but still, the great theme of his work amounted to blessing, not curse, because he's the promised seed of the woman who would roll back the curse that impended over the entire world ever since the fall into sin. So in this Christ, we too can say, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." We can recount his deeds, even to people who had been our spiritual opponents, trusting all the while in the Lord and in his might.
Give us your true and false review, if you would.
Okay, true or false? Elisha's career never surpassed that of Elijah. False. Elijah does grab all the headlines. I mean, he did back in that day, and maybe he still does today. That's the word that comes to the mind, the name that people think of, if you kind of think of an archetypical Old Testament prophet. But the miracles that the Lord did through Elisha were quantitatively more and qualitatively better than the ones he had done through Elijah. In fact, even the name Elisha means God is salvation. True or false? At Dothan, there were more with Elisha than with the Syrian army. And that was true. It didn't seem to be true on the surface, but it definitely was the case. That heavenly army was there surrounding the Syrians. And of course, we need to think in those terms too, because we walk by faith, not by sight, as St. Paul wrote. True or false? Elisha led the Syrian army right into Damascus. False. Damascus is the capital of Syria. What Elisha did was to lead the army right into Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom. But while they were there, helpless, as it were, in the midst of their enemies, Elisha insisted that they be shown mercy and sent home. See, in Elisha's miracles, blessing rides on top. And in that sense, he is a real forerunner of Christ.
Any final thoughts?
Well, the maker of heaven and earth commands vast angel armies, to say nothing of the might that he himself has, regardless of the angels. But such great divine power gives us no consolation unless God shows us the smiling face of his blessing, as he showed it in our episode here today to Elisha and Elisha's servant, and also to those Syrians. In Christ, God has given us sinners freedom, freedom from and freedom for. Under the protection of our strong and victorious Lord, we have freedom from the fearsome forces and freedom for generosity to the very people who would oppose us. And one more thing, Todd. Thank God that when he opened our eyes, enemies that we once were, he did not just have mercy on us for a mere moment and then send us away. Instead, Christ stays with us, fighting for us through his word. With him, we remain safe for all eternity.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
Just tickled to talk to you, Todd.
When we come back, it's listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with spiritual gifts for the common good, one body, many members, no divisions, and first apostles. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.